We are about to begin the service. Welcome to Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship. Those of you outside in the foyer, time to come in. Those of you on the interwebs, glad to have you there. Hope to see you soon. I am going to open with two small passages of Scripture. It's just kind of a place that I have been for quite a while. These two passages of Scripture are kind of somewhat, hi Amelia, they're kind of somewhat a divine tension, but at the same time they complement each other. And this is just where the Lord has had me for quite a while, and I want to share that and pray into it with the church. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then the other verse is Romans 2:4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? My granddaughter, I thought she was going to run up here. This is just where the Lord's had me. I've known about the one side, you know, the fear of the Lord, and we've learned a lot about the fear of the Lord, but lately I have been seeing the goodness of God that leads to repentance. So, Father God, we come before you today in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the fear of the Lord. We thank you that it does open us to understanding. And Lord, what it opens us to is your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, because it's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's knowing that there's an almighty God who could just get sick of us, but yet makes a way to redeem a fallen creation through the cross of Jesus. We thank you for that goodness of God. Lord, we thank you because it's that goodness of God that as you open our eyes to wisdom, you open our eyes to your goodness, and we want to repent. So, Lord, if there are things in our heart before we come before you in worship, if there are things in our hearts that need to go, Lord, we repent. We lay everything at the altar, and we're going to take a time to worship you through song. We're going to take a time to worship you through the other things of this service, Lord, even through the teaching of the word. And Lord, we look to the goodness of God to bring us to repentance and to bring us closer to you that we might be true disciples and see your work done in this hour, not what we think, but your work. So we give you all glory and honor, Lord, and we lay everything at your feet, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You may be seated for communion. The couplets are on the table next to the sound booth. We're going to go to Matthew 26 for the Lord's Supper reading. Matthew 26:26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with all of you in my Father's kingdom." The Lord takes his body, takes the bread, and he says it represents his body that will be broken for us, that is there to bring us into fellowship with him, that causes us to be empowered and strengthened. And then he takes the cup, and he identifies that cup with his blood, and he says, "Drink it. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We celebrate the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, every Sunday. Just as a reminder, this is the basis of our covenant relationship with God and with each other. The body and blood of the Lord are true sacraments. They impart God's grace. They impart God's grace to strengthen us, to heal us, to empower us. We always talk about, as believers in Jesus, as disciples, we need to see Jesus. We need to see what Jesus sees. And then we need to live like Jesus. And in order to live like Jesus, we have to learn how to dwell where Jesus dwelt. He was just, he was on earth, but he was always in his Father's presence. And his Father was always with him, and the Spirit of God was always with him. And sacraments release grace to us. They release God's grace to empower us to live like Jesus. They release just the blood of Jesus that forgives us. It causes us to see Jesus and to see what Jesus sees. So Paul says, as often as you do these things, do this in remembrance of Jesus. And that's the remembrance of who he was, what he taught, what he did, and what he continues to do in our midst. So as we partake of this body and blood, we just, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We respond to your command. We take and eat your body, Lord God, to empower us and to just bring us in a relationship with you and each other. And second, Lord, we respond to your exhortation, drink of this cup, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank you that we serve a God who forgives sins. We partake, Lord God, of your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. Man, it's good to see. Man, there's some beautiful people here, man. I'm telling you, you all are beautiful. You know, God, see, I love God because he's so diverse. He's so diverse. We don't have to like the same things. We don't have to have the same hairstyle. But guess what? He still loves us. We don't eat the same foods. Some of us eat pig feet. I'm telling you, but God is powerful, though. He allows us to love each other. See eyes over there, eyes on the East Tostitos and cheese dip all the time. You know, but me, I like chips and regular green onion dip. But I still love them. But it's good to see everybody. It's good for you to be here. Let me say a word of prayer before I get into it. Father God, I just thank you so much for bringing us here today and just giving us differences, Lord, but allowing us to come together in love and be able to love and share and fellowship with each other and have a joke or two here or there, you know, so we can feel comfortable and feel accepted, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, that as the word goes forth today, that people will understand and they will see you from a different light, you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, through a different light, God, and that they will take something out of here and say, wow, what he said, I got to remember that. I want that to happen in my life. Father, I just pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, where's Scott? Hey, man, did you walk through here last Sunday? You was walking through here, bro. Good word. Great word. I love it when you speak. But I want to teach a little bit on faith. We all know God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But the point of it is, he's given us potentials. He's given us gifts. He's given us more than we use. I'm going to show you today that you are bigger on the inside of you than you are on the outside. See, with God in your life and God working in you, he can make you just as big and powerful as Jesus was. It's no difference. Jesus left everything that he had to us, disciples. He left it to us. And he said, now you go forth and go do the work and go make it happen and go help others. He did it. We are supposed to do it. So today I just want to share with you, how do we get to that point? How do we stop second guessing ourselves? Amen? If you have a Bible, please turn to, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 35. Now I'm going to be hitting back and forth on the disciples and on maybe some of the other characters and stories in the Bible. So just hang in there with me and pay close attention, because I know the Lord is going to speak today. This was not my sermon that I just wanted to teach. This is something he wanted me to share when he gave me some revelation about it. When everybody have Mark 4, 35, say amen. This is the story where Jesus calms the storm. But all the time before this, he's trying to teach. Okay, we're all disciples. We're all disciples. He's trying to teach the disciples how to move the way he does. And it's story and parable and story and parable that they go through before they get to this point to where they're getting in the boat to go to the other side. By now, they should have an idea of how faith works. They've seen him move in miraculous ways. But do they have it? Let's see. Verse 35, Mark 4:35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. And I'm reading out of the NIV. Although other boats followed, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves was breaking into the boat, and it began to fill it with water. Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown. Now, I don't know if Jesus planned this, but I did a little research about what lake they were getting on. And in the evening, the wind, this lake was lower than level ground that they were getting in. And in this particular spot where they were at, the wind in the evening, the winds would blow, and it would blow down into this like ravine where this lake was, and it would just tear up and just blow everything that was in there around. So Jesus is asleep, and they said, hey, teacher, hey, Jesus, we gonna drown, man, we gonna drown. What you doing? You trying to kill us? They start saying all kinds of stuff. They ain't saying everything they were saying in the Bible. But I know if you in a boat somewhere and the water is coming up over the sides and you can see the waves way up over the top of you, you scared. Let's not. Come on. TV is good. I know we've seen the Poseidon Adventure and all that stuff and how they were trying to be brave and everybody. Forget about that. Your life is on the line. You're going to want to try to figure out, how do I get out of this? So they ran to Jesus. Hey, we're going to drown. Now this man, Jesus done took care of their families. He done turned the water into wine. He done all kinds of miracles. They worried about drowning. Watch this. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, silence to the wind and be still to the waves. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, we go through things with our children, on our jobs, whatever it is. Is our faith shaky when we're going through those things? Let's just be real. Is our faith, where is it? Do we know that Jesus is going to pull us out of this thing? Do we know he'll make a way for us to get past it? Do we know that it's the end to this thing? Or do we worry, become afraid, start talking crazy? See, when you have faith, you got to be careful of your responses to things. Jesus is our everything. And he wants us to put our trust, our full trust in him. He wants to know that we have confidence in him, that he is going to make a way for us to get out of whatever situation is, even if we caused it ourselves. Come on. That's what faith is. He asked him, where is your faith? Do you have faith? But the point of it is, first they were afraid. Now, let me let you in on a little tip here. You can't be afraid and have faith at the same time. He called out both of the issues. Trust in Jesus is trust in Jesus. It's unwavering understanding that he is going to help you. And you can't get afraid. You can't start talking all that scaredy cat stuff. But that's what we do. We start whining and crying. Why am I going through this? Lord, what did I do? You're already moving towards the afraid. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. He knows the strings to pull to try to get you out of faith, to try to get you out of the will of God. Oh, man. I'm going to prove this thing. I'm going to prove it. See, let's just cut through the chase. If you got any belief or any trust in Jesus Christ, even if it's a little, he'll deliver you from the biggest thing. You don't gotta have big faith to get delivered. You can just have the regular little amount of faith, and he's gonna deliver you. You gotta hear me in this. He is faithful. He is faithful to us, y'all. He woke us up today. He gave us ability to raise a family, the beautiful family that was up here. Come on, I know you done been through some stuff. He got you out of it, if you recognize him or not. No, man, it was me, man. It was my ingenuity. I knew how to do this and that and the other. Hogwash, forget about it. Forget about it. It wasn't you. Because Jesus is that faithful and that loving that he'll get us out of situations and circumstances. And we don't even ask him to. He'll get us out and we don't even ask him. That's compassion. That's love. Come on, don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down. Y'all quiet. He'll get us out. It's faith, y'all. It's faith that moves God. Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. I got my kids. I got to have faith in God. Almost every day of the week, I'm saying to myself, Lord Jesus, what in the world? Where did this kid come from? I mean, my hair already falling out, man. Before you know it, I'm going to have to go bald. I'm just keeping it real with you, man. Some days I come home work and be like, my God, what in the world? Jesus, help me, man. But you got to understand, I'm making it comical because I want you to understand that he is the man. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they do the work as one. Jesus came to do the work of the Father, and he left the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Son, which was Jesus. And they all work together. But I'm telling you, y'all, to please God, we have to have faith. We have to. Now watch this. I'm in verse 41 of chapter 4. Watch this. The disciples were absolutely terrified. These boys were scared. To tell you the truth, if I'd have been in that boat, I would have been scared too. The waves are coming up over the boat. You can be inside a ship, enclosed in your cabin, and you'll still be scared if that kind of storm hits the course where you're sailing to. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere, all at one time. It's your faith in him that's going to get you delivered, that's going to get you out of things. He never said it was going to be fun. He never said, oh, yeah, you're going out here in life and have fun. Nothing's going to happen to you. Everything is going to be fine. He never said that. He never said it. But it's his faith inside us can make things happen, man, that you never ever thought could happen. You can do things you never thought you could do. But you got to spend time with him and you got to let him develop it. We all start out with a measure of faith. A measure of faith, it's enough faith, but it's enough faith. That measure, if the disciples would have used it, would have been enough to calm that storm. It would have been enough. That's why he was saying, why are you afraid? What did he say? Why are you afraid and why do you still have no faith? They had the measure. It should have been bigger, but they had enough. Okay, that's one. Let's go to Let's go to Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I want you to understand why I'm harping on this like I am. Because life throws us a lot of curveballs. It throws us a lot of curveballs. And we have to really begin to exercise the benefits that we have with God being our God and Jesus being our Lord and the Holy Spirit being our comforter. We have to. We have to begin to exercise the benefits. It's benefits to this. It's benefits to coming to church. It's benefits to living right. It's benefits. Hebrews 12, 2. All right, here I am. I'm in 2. Okay, 12, 2. Here we go. Now watch this. Okay, let me read it from one. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and protects and perfects our faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher. He's the initiator. So we should have full confidence in having faith in him because we see from parable after parable, story after story, we see him use his faith to get things done. We have to start using this. People, every day that goes by is getting closer and closer to Jesus returning. I want to see you, me, all of us successful. I want to see us being able to rebuke the enemy. I want to see us being able to pray against things that the enemy is trying to do to our family members and shut him down because we have the power in us. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. Amen. He's the author and the finisher. So it's his job to help us to develop it. That's what he was doing with the disciples in the boat. But before then, he did several miracles. He's trying to get them to develop their faith. Same thing he's trying to get us to do. Same thing. It's by faith. Let's go to let me read something to you first. Jesus is always trying to build our faith. He has called us, and it's things that he wants us to do for the kingdom. And it's going to take faith to get it done. It's things he wants us to accomplish. And I want you all to understand, man, it's not all about what's happening here in the flesh. It's some supernatural power that comes along with Christ. It really is. If you take your time and do some research, you'll start to see that's how Jesus moved. That's how he got things done. And he wants us to do it. Amen. Let's go to Luke 18:6. Now watch what this says. When you have it, say amen. Luke 18:6. Then the Lord said, learn this lesson from the unjust judge. Even when he rendered a just decision in the end, so don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? When he comes back, he's looking for those who have faith. He's looking for those who trusted in him. Man, this, to me, I'm preaching to myself. I can see myself sitting down there hearing this because he's preaching to all of us. But while he's speaking through me, he's touching me because he's getting me ready. He's getting me ready. It's some things that he has set up for me. It's some things that he has set up for you. But will you accomplish it? Will you step out on faith and do it? Are you brave enough? Or do you trust in him enough to know that he'll see you through it? Our trust has to be. Our faith has to be in the Lord. It has to be. Because that's what he's looking for. Amen? Now, got two other ones, but I kind of want to hold off on those examples because I just want to say, we have to apply it. We have to apply faith each and every day we wake up. We have to. It's trust and dependence on Jesus. We have to believe. We have to know that he's with us. Let's go over to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Faith is designed to be built up by hearing the word from cover to cover. That's what he desires for us to do, is to trust, to believe, to rely on him. He don't want us to rely on ourselves. He don't want us to rely on our own abilities. Because our own abilities is what get us in trouble. Am I stepping on somebody's toes here? Because y'all, I'm not getting no feedback. I hear more feedback from the mic than I do y'all.
Come on. Preach it. Come on.
I want you to understand. God loves you. Let me put it in layman's terms. He loves you. He loves you. But when he comes back, he don't want to see that you've been sitting down and doing nothing. You want to be blessed. Lord, bless me. Lord, do this. Lord, help me. You ain't doing nothing. No, I'm serious. It's okay to come to church, but man, you can only sit on them pews for so long. He wants you to start ministering to the lady at the job, to the man on the corner. Do something. That's the easiest way for me to say it. It's It's not about you. Oh, what I'm going through. Man, what I'm going through. Man, they about to tell my bills off. Man, they didn't give me the raise. Man, I got a whole laundry list of things I can name. But I always try to keep a word in me to help somebody. I always try to keep a word in me. He didn't call me to be a pastor and to just sit on the gift that he gave me. All of us, everybody here, he's given you a gift. Okay, one person might be an administrator at the job. That's a gift. You went to school, you learned it. He gave you the mentality to be able to grasp hold of that and use it to produce money for your family. It's a gift. Another person might be able to play sports better. You might be the greatest dad in the world because you've been through four or five children, they're grown, they're gone, and you can offer somebody some advice. But he's given us all something, and he wants us to use it to help others. This world is really, really going. To me, it seems like it's going down. And I want to encourage you to step out on faith. I know some days you'll be riding and you might see somebody that don't look like they're doing good, and you hear that little voice and say, help them, talk to them. And you keep on going. No, I'm not stopping. No. I know how it is. I used to do it. See them right there on the corner, the expressway. They want some money. They need some help. Why not just pull over and stop and talk to them for a moment? And then give them $2, $3, $4, $5. That's a good opportunity to witness to somebody, because they know you're going to give them something. If you got out, if you stopped, pulled over, and got out of your car and going over, they know they got something coming. But they're going to hear this word first.
Come on. Yeah.
I'm going to tell them, you a prophet. Don't you know that? You a prophet. God want to use you as an evangelist.
Yep.
He can clean you up. They might need to hear my testimony. I was all three of the I was the guys on the cross next to Jesus. I was all three of them: thief, robber, liar. I didn't care. I had nothing to care about until the Lord came into my life. I had nothing. Nothing. Till he came into my life. And he came into my life in Jackson. He didn't come sitting on my lazy boy at home watching a big screen color TV. He came to me at my lowest point. I'm saying that because I'm telling you, he desires your praise and your worship because he made you.
That's right. Come on.
He desires it. He came to me in Jackson, man, and started talking to me, saying, hey, man, how long are we going to have to do this? And I'm like, who is this talking to me? And he started mentioning, and he robbed that guy, and he was selling drugs out here, and he was sleeping with that girl there, and that's when I knew it was God. He's the only person that could have known it. And it woke me up. And he said, we can keep doing this jail thing until you get it together. He said, now you got 2 years to figure it out what you want to do. I was like, man. And then I get classified and get sent to a prison. And as soon as I get there, I go to Bible study. And the pastor, who I ain't never seen in my life, say, you a pastor. And I like to fell out of my seat. I'm like, dude, I know you a false prophet. I'm out of here. What am I doing now? What am I doing now? That's 30-some years ago. What am I doing now? I was going to be a pastor one way or another. I could have kept doing that. I would have went to jail. They give you a number every time you go to jail. They give you a letter that goes behind your prison number, so they can go from A to all the way to Z. They do. So that's what God was telling me. We could keep doing this thing till you're off the alphabet. Y'all laughing, but it wasn't funny then. It wasn't funny. And so I was like, wait a minute, man. A voice came to me in my cell. I'm in here by myself. But I had to listen. And when that man said I was a pastor, I was like, man, that guy tripping, man. I got up and walked out. So I go back to my cell. And I'm in there. He's like, yeah, you a pastor. I said, man, I'm hearing him. I'm like, I can't be. I done the most ugliest, dirtiest, low-downest stuff, God. How could I be a pastor? How could I get up and preach in front of people? He said, I don't want to use nobody who ain't been through nothing. God does not want the clean person, because you know why? Their nose is stuck up. He wants somebody that got some flaws, right, so that he can prove that he's God in your life by using you. Yep. Oh, man, you got to get this. Faith will bring what you thought you couldn't do to life in you. It'll bring it. Okay. Another story. Most of the congregation heard it, but I'm hoping that this ministers to somebody. I'm sitting, move out here a few years ago, and I'm like, God, man, I got to get a job. Money ain't coming in right, man. I was working overtime. I was making big dollars working overtime. The overtime dried up. I started praying. I said, Lord, what can I do? He said, you've been working with Lance. He said, man, you know how to landscape. Start landscaping. I was like, God, come on, man. I'm not getting ready to do that. I ain't going to be out there in that hot sun. I ain't doing that. And he was like, well, I don't have nothing else for you. And I'm like, you ain't got nothing else for me. He said, I'm trying to give you a way to get the cash you need to take care of your family, and you telling me you don't want to do that. And then I asked myself, am I being prideful? And then I said, I go out here and I help Lance, but God, I said, wait a minute, man, hold on. Okay, man, God, forgive me. Let's try it. Start off with one person here, one person there. I got almost 30 customers. Daughter, proud dad, she's in Michigan State. I was like, God, how am I going to take care of her? How am I going to send her the $200 here, the $300 here, this and that and the other? How? He provided a way. Listen to me, y'all. Faith. I trusted him. I believed in him. And then he told me, he said, next season, you're going on your own. You can help Lance, but you're going on your own. Bought the equipment, got the stuff. He just opened the door. And then he started adjusting the way I did things. He started telling me, quit using the zero turn, the big lawnmower. Start using the walk behind on these customers. And do you know, when I started using the walk behind, the zero turn is for bigger jobs, like Phil. You know, Phil got a football player's house. Got a football player's house.
He been there, he knows.
You ain't gonna be out there. I'd have been like that. But I changed up. And he said, look at the people's lawns. He said, don't you see it's manicured now? He said, the zero turn cut it fast, but it didn't manicure it. And I was like, man, God. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that more often. People love it. The point of it is we have to give God his props. We like to give props. Yeah, Michael Jordan and LeBron, we love to give these sports figures they props. We got to give God his. Let me see what my time is. So, I'm gonna let me. Do I want to go there, Lord? Okay. Let's go to Mark 7:24. I'm gonna do these two, and then I'm going to end it. Mark 7:24. This is like a parable here. And I just want you to see something, though. Because sometimes, man, we allow our feelings and our emotions We allow our feelings and our emotions to get in the way, you know, or our pride. No, I'm not doing that. No, I only go so low, you know. That's the old saying. I only go so low. I'm not doing that, man. You know, but watch. But listen. Sometimes we wearing our feelings on our sleeves, people. We're wearing our feelings on our sleeves. As soon as somebody says something to us, kind of a little bit different or out of way that we thought they should have said something, now our feathers are all ruffled and messed up, and we mad and we upset. But that can cause you your blessing, though. Your attitude will cause your blessing. It can be coming to you. Your blessing is on the way. And you get that old stank attitude, it's going to go, whoop, and you will never even get it. I'm telling you. I was the attitude king. I got an attitude if the wind blew hard, too hard on me. No, y'all laughing, but I'm telling you, man, I was the attitude problem guy. In school, man, just attitude. About everything. But I'm telling you some little inside secrets. We have to change. And we have to look at things according to how God is seeing. Watch this. Okay. 24. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. I wonder what made him think that he was going to be able to sneak in somewhere. I really question this, but That's just me. I'm like that. Right away, a woman who heard about him came and fell at his feet. Now, I want you to picture this. The woman fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She begged him to cast the demon from her daughter. How many of us would have done that? Raise your hand. For your kid, I would have been down. I'd have been laying on his feet. For my kid. For my kid. Something I love, something that came from me, my body that's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I would have. But watch this. Since she was a Gentile, born in Syrian Phoenicia, which made her a Syro-Phoenician woman. But she was a Gentile. Jesus told her, first I should feed the children in my own family or in my own race or whatever it was. In my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. He called this woman a dog. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. How many of y'all would have took that? Would you have been offended? You got your boxes in a bunch? Man, don't you be calling me that? Or would you have been more concerned getting your daughter healed? See, I know I'm on point now. See, Mother Joyce, I know your family and then some of my family, man, they would have blew the whole deal. They couldn't even been there, Pastor. They would have blew the whole deal. Family would have been fighting because they blew the whole deal. Because they'd have been like, dog, who you calling a dog?
Come on.
I'm offended by that. Take that back. I'm telling you the truth. I'm being real. My family would have blew it. I'd have been like, man, come on, man. I'm trying to get my daughter blessed. I'm trying to get her healed. Shut up. What I'm saying here is, watch this. Now, dog meant Gentile. Dog meant Gentile. You know, it's, like for me, years ago, nigga. That ain't never bothered me. That's what dog was to a Gentile, you know. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. She wasn't buying that. I think Jesus said that just to see. He's always trying to bring your faith out now. He's always trying to see who has faith. And he knew as soon as she said that, I got to bless this woman. She ain't going for that offensive stuff. I'm offended. She wasn't buying it. Her thing was her daughter. And Jesus said, good answer, and said, now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Woo! That's faith.
Yep. Yeah.
Somebody dogging you out, talking about you, running you down, and you just let it bounce off. That's faith. That's faith. Because it ain't in what they saying, it's the faith in God to get the job done. One more. Let's go over to Mark 9:14. Mark 9. One more. Now watch this one. 9:14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them. And some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe. And they ran to greet him. Then Jesus said, "What is all of this arguing about?" One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed with the evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it." They couldn't do it. Jesus said, listen to this, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." He really talking to the disciples. He talking to them because they should have been able to do it. This is what I'm saying. We all disciples. Where are we at in our faith? Where are we at? This is what the Lord is saying today. Work on your faith. Because let me tell you something. God speaks and brings things to pass through revelation. It's through revelation. You're not going to always be able to read it in the Bible. But he'll give you a revelation on what to do to change your family situation. It could be the son or the daughter on drugs. It could be the son or the daughter that got a gambling problem. I ain't talking about no couple of hundred. I'm talking about gambling up thousands. He's going to have to give you revelation. But you first got to have faith in him that he can do it. Then he'll supply the revelation on how to go about helping them. That's a good spot to say amen. Amen. That's a real good spot to say amen. Because I'm not implying that anybody in here has a son on drugs or anything like that, or whatever it is. He can just be unsaved. It's still the same faith. It's the same faith. If it's drugs or if he's not saved, it's the same faith that could change that situation. It might be you. It's the same faith. So let's finish. Okay. Jesus said, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground and withering and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on him. Help us if you can. Sometimes, man, we just need to know how to be quiet. This guy talked too much in this situation. He just talked too much. He should have just said, yeah, go ahead, do what you're going to do. But when he said, if you can, that added doubt. Doubt cannot be even in your vocabulary dealing with Jesus. You're not going to get nothing. I mean, he have mercy on you or compassion on you and move, but what I'm saying is that if you always walking around thinking doubt, doubt and faith don't mix. Man, my toes is starting to hurt a little bit here. My toes is hurting. Is anybody's toes out there hurting? Yeah, I know yours is hurting. But the point I'm making, and I'm making it palatable, I'm making it funny so that you can understand, is that Jesus loves all of us. Listen, man, listen. How many people live in Warren? Mostly everybody around here? Oh, let me just put on. How many people live in Macomb County? Okay. When it rains in Macomb County, it rains on your house and it rains in mine. God is good like that. He loves us all. When the sun is out, he don't just let the sun follow me. I be driving by, y'all be by y'all swimming pools, laying out, you know. Y'all get the sun too. So he's good like that. He's good. He loves all of us. Let's start to trust and believe in the Trinity. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, more people. He wants to see our faith. I think, and I'm going to throw this out there, Pastor Oz. I really, truly believe if we start operating in the faith the way he wants us to, he didn't just do it and say, okay, here it is. He wants us to operate in that. I think he'll come sooner. I think he'll come back sooner. Because when he comes back, he's coming back looking for those who have faith. So, faith. Faith. One more scripture. Faith, watch this. We always want to lean on our senses, don't we? Well, I feel what you said to me. I feel that was wrong. Man, I think you're trying to play me, man. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Man, that guy over there, he stink, man. I don't want to be over there by him. Them are senses. Senses. We got to get out of that, y'all. We got to get over in the supernatural. We got to get over in the supernatural. Oh, God, I wish. Oh, God, okay, 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 okay. We got to learn. Touch, taste, feel, and all that. That's good for us to have. But where we're going is higher than that. It's higher. Oh, it's so much higher. I got to use it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to use this. Yesterday, Matt Abbott came. He's a member here. He went on to another church, but he came back. He called Oz up and asked him, could he share this revelation that he got from God? And this is powerful. And I said, yeah. Come on. And he brought him in. He's teaching a good word. But it was something he was looking for. It was something he was looking for, wasn't it, Oz? And God used me. It was supernatural. It was the word of knowledge. He said, Bird, get up. You, Pastor Philip, Pastor Oz, lay hands on him and pray over him. And tell him everything is okay. It's all right. That you still love him. Powerful, man. Powerful. It broke that thing. It broke it. What I'm trying to tell y'all is more than this flesh. God ain't gonna just do it for me as a pastor. He'll do it for any of you all. You just gotta believe and have faith. And he left, and he left here. And I saw it was broken off of him. He felt some kind of a way. Because he thought we felt some kind of a way. We gotta get out of that. I feel like you did this to me. You said this to me. That's elementary. That's elementary. Let me do this one last scripture. Hebrews 11:6. And we out of here. That's elementary, y'all. I don't know why God wanted to come forth this way today. But it's somebody here that this is for. It ain't only for me. It ain't only for me. Because I'll be the first to say, yeah, this message was for me. Because sometimes I can wear my feelings on my sleeve. And somebody will say something, and I'll be like, man. Hold on, pump your brakes. Pump your brakes. Back up. And then sometimes, and I know when I'm in the spirit, I just walk away. I know when I'm in the spirit. But your flesh, boy, you be wanting to get your 2 cents in. We got to learn how to cut that off. Watch this. Okay. Last scripture. Wow, man. God is good. He's ministering to me. He's ministering to me big time right now. Because it's sometimes my kids, they be doing some things. And I'll be like, and he'd be like, no, you don't. No, you don't. You better not say that. I'd be like, oh, man, I just want to just say. He said, no, you don't. I'll be, hey, man, I'm telling you, man, I'll be wanting to. But see, my mother was different. Oh, man. You call yourself having an attitude with her, boy? Man. She reads you the whole Constitution. She reads you the whole Constitution. Her Constitution. I don't know who you think you are. You ain't going to be walking around here. And you be like, oh, my God. And then at the end of it, she slap you. Pow! Like, man. Hey, mama. It's the truth, though. But that's just, that's the way I came up. I thank God for my mom bringing me up that way, because it really made a man out of me, you know? Hebrews 11:6. Watch this. Last scripture, y'all. And it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. You got it. You just heard the scripture. God wants us to do bigger and greater things. With God, all things are possible. How I got the house. I came from an apartment down in Palmer Park to 14 in Shaner. Palmer Park. It's a lot of undesirables hanging out around down there. I just got to, you know, come on, y'all. Y'all, I know y'all know. It's a lot of undesirables. But the point of it was, I had to get my kids from down there. I had to. And I was leaning on God. I'm talking about leaning. Oh, Lord. I had to get from down there. I go down there and I cut grass in Detroit. And some days it could be stifling to see the stuff. And I'm like, and I just start praying. I ride on through, go to my customer's house, mow their lawn, hook them up, and I come back and I'm like, Lord, bless them. You see people driving by fast, acting crazy. And I just say, Lord, that used to be me. Is there anybody here that struggles with their faith? Let's take a minute. Is it anybody just that finds it hard to trust in the Lord? Find it hard to believe in the Lord? We just want to pray for you. We just want to pray for you. We're just going to take a minute. If you want to come up, please, just come on up. Nothing to be ashamed about. We just want to pray with you. Because, see, God is good, but you have to have faith in him for it to work. That's why the first thing he does is, when you get saved, you confess that the Lord Jesus is the Lord of your life. And then that sets you up from that moment to start receiving all that he has for you. Well, anyway, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this moment. God, I appreciate everything you said through me. I even appreciate you ministering to me while I'm ministering your word. Father God, have your way today with us. Allow us to go and be safe and make it to our, going down these highways and byways and make it back home and to see our loved ones. Father God, just be with us, Lord God. We thank you. We trust in you, Lord God. Father God, and we have faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.